Well, today is Thursday, and it's our day of studying prophecy, past, present, and future, things to come, namely the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, 1 Peter 1:11. Well, today we are going to review certain prophecies in the Bible as we read them literally. This broadcast is futuristic. It is not Jesuitically futuristic, thereby eliminating attention on the papacy, which we will never do here. But it is biblically futuristic, as the Bible has prophecy in it, and therefore prophecy involves the foretelling of future things, unlike any other book on the face of the earth. And therefore, these future things that the Bible speaks of, we read them in a literal fashion. And if they are figurative, like Revelation 13, 1 and 2, the Bible then explains that figurative language later on. We don't need to interpret it. We read the Bible literally. We read what it says. We take it for what it says, just like we read the Constitution. The Constitution says what it means and means what it says. We don't need an interpretation of it. Now, in Revelation 16, verses 12 and following, we read concerning the kings of the east. Revelation 16, verses 12 and 13, quote, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." So we have here in Revelation 16 an event that will happen, and this is during the last half of the 70th week of Daniel, which is yet future, during what the Bible calls the tribulation, the great one, in Matthew 24, verse 15, as the Lord spoke of it. And thus, this is the time of Jacob's trouble, as we read in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 8, but Jacob shall be saved out of it. And thus, we read here in verse 12, concerning a group of kings called the kings of the east. The kings of the east. What will happen by the time of the fulfillment of the 70th week of Daniel during this great tribulation that's yet future is there will be a unification of the Far East. And it will not be in favor of America. In fact, I believe America will be gone by this time. There's no mention of America in Bible prophecy, which includes Babylon. Babylon of Jeremiah 50, Jeremiah 51, Revelation 18 is a rebuilt literal Babylon. And it will be the commercial center of the earth. That's why they're taking all of our wealth out of here, out of North America, and they're sending it over to Dubai. And that's why our troops are in Iraq. They're busy building the new Babylon out of Baghdad and that entire area along the Euphrates River. So that's why this war is going to continue. That's why I've said on this broadcast for the last year or so that no matter who the Jesuits put in the presidency, the Iraq crusade is going to continue against the heretic Shia, against the infidel Shia, in the words of the Sunni Muslims, as well as then after this urban renewal that the Pope is busy using the American military for and financing it with Kuwait and the United Arab Emirates, and also Saudi Arabia, that as they are these Arab nations controlled by the Pope, made rich by the Pope's oil monopolies, are financing the American crusade, then they will rebuild Babylon on the Euphrates River. Why do you think the American embassy in Baghdad is going to be the largest American embassy in the world? It's huge. Because America is going to fall in the next 20 years or so, something along that kind of timeline, and that whole big, beautiful embassy will fall into the hands of the people there as God is using them to rebuild Babylon to be the commercial nexus, the commercial navel of the earth, uniting the East with the West, with the South. So what we have here in Revelation 16:12 is we have this unity of the kings of the East. And do you know, my white brothers, who, what group are building the kings of the East? And of course, we know it's the papacy and the Knights of Malta and other high-level papal knights. But do you know what coolies the Jesuits are using to build the kings of the East? The American people. That's right. The devil is using us, American people, to build this huge horde that will be used by the devil to invade Israel, the Pope's Kingdom of Jerusalem, at the end of the Great Tribulation in the attempt to kill every Jew living there. And this monstrosity is being built by American people. That's right. How do you know this, Brother Eric? Well, let's take a little review of the past. The Jesuits hated China. They hated the Manchus because the Manchus had the guts enough to expel the Jesuit order in around 1774. The Jesuits were then readmitted into China in 1841. In 1842, the Jesuits in control of that witch in England called Queen Victoria, that phony, baloney, fake Protestant who opened up relations with the Vatican in 1877, they used Victoria and her Jesuit coadjutors like Disraeli later and like Viscount Palmerston. He used those wicked sinners to begin to wage the opium wars against China in 1842. That's when it began. And why? Why we must have a drug war against the Chinese people to weaken them, to sicken them with plenty of opium, so that in the end the people would be too weak to resist a foreign invasion of a host of nations that would result in the overthrow and the removal of the Manchu dynasty in 1912. Exactly what is going on in America today. The Pope's drug trade, overseen by the CIA and the Mafia and the Office of Naval Intelligence and the National Security Agency, using the whole worldwide international intelligence community with the international mafia, the international crime syndicate, all run by the Black Pope through his Knights of Malta and Knights Templars being high-level Freemasonry, they're waging a drug war against us American people, black and white, especially us whites. Because if a white man isn't free, nobody's free. Why do you think they have cocaine everywhere? The white man's drug. I was told by a lady not far from here in Elizabethtown that virtually every professional is on cocaine. Destroying our professionals. Destroying the very heart and soul of a nation. You cannot have a nation without professionals, without doctors, without true lawyers, without true people in the sciences. You get them addicted to cocaine, it's going to fry their brains. The same drug war that's being waged against us, that always ends up, by anybody studying that war, at Langley, Virginia, at the door of the CIA. You just read Gary Webb's Dark Alliance, for which he was murdered, showing the alliance between the CIA and the Mafia and its drug trade. It's the same drug war waged against us American people that was waged against the Chinese in the 19th century. And you know what happened to China? China went through a revolution and began to revolt against this. You had a group in China that began to revolt against this. So what happened? Why, the Jesuits brought in the Germans. They brought in the Japanese. They brought in the Americans. And they put down this Boxer Rebellion, which was generated on a legitimate resistance to all this outside foreign tyranny destroying China. Now, I know the Boxer Rebellion killed a lot of white missionaries there, but the issue was the Jesuits had fomented the drug trade into China to wreck the Chinese people, to destroy their ancient culture, and then on the ruins of destroying their leader, their emperor, and their culture, to ultimately implement Chinese communism. But before they could do that, they had to further destroy all the Protestant works that had gone on in China through Great Britain's China's Inland Mission. China was becoming a Bible-reading country. they were beginning to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for their sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and rose again, and many Chinese people were saved by the grace of God. Today, there's a huge underground Chinese church that's persecuted by the Jesuits running Chinese communism. So therefore, the Jesuits in control of Japan and that high-level Freemason Hirohito, the Jesuits then put together their Japanese Imperial Army, and it would use the Japanese Imperial Army to destroy all Protestantism in the Far East. And that's exactly what the Japanese did in China. They killed off as many Protestant foreign missionaries that they could find. They did the exact same thing in the Philippines. They killed every foreign white missionary they could find. They had to hide in the Philippines. The little Filipinos were so good to us. White forefathers that were there, our white missionaries that were there, they protected us, they helped us. The Filipinos loved us. And many of them still do today. But what they don't understand is that the Jesuits were using the Japanese Imperial Army to kill off the Chinese Christians, to kill off the Filipino Christians, to kill off the Christians in the Far East, as well as to steal all the gold and then ultimately bury it in the Philippines, General Yamashita's gold, which would then be sent to the New York banks run by the Knights of Malta after the war via the CIA and the American military. It was one great big, that huge crusade of murder, rapine, and theft. And the Japanese military was a part of it, because you see, the Japanese high command was working in conjunction with the Office of Naval Intelligence throughout the entire duration of the war. So, the Jesuits used the Japanese to further kill down the Bible-believing Christians in China, as well as the Chinese nationalists. To have a nation, you must have nationalists. People that love their nation more than any other nation. They love their race. They love their language. They love their culture. They love their country that they live in. It is virtuous to be a patriot. A Christian, a Bible-believing man of God, is a patriot, no matter what nation you live in. Your nation is first, and every other nation is a second to your nation. They take a back seat to you. That is true nationalism. Nationalism keeps the peace. It's the Jesuits within the nations that foment the wars through the leaders of these nations and betray the people of those nations into warring with one another, exactly as they are doing right now. So, the Japanese were used to this end, and then after the Japanese were defeated, the Americans came in and began to occupy China. And do you know how Mao Zedong came to power? He came to power through the U.S. State Department and the OSS, later the CIA. You see, it was Wild Bill Donovan, that Knight of Malta, who oversaw the murder of Captain John Birch, a Bible-believing Baptist, in China, because John Birch spoke Chinese, he was a missionary to China, he was very influential in China, and he was against the communists there, he was against Mao Zedong, and so that dirty, stinking, Wild Bill Donovan, that murderer of General Patton, he now murders Captain John Birch, of which the Jesuits would have the audacity to name their John Birch Society after. Wicked sinners, run by McManus, a Jesuit himself. So now, the Jesuits used the American government, controlled by the CFR, also controlling the Office of Naval Intelligence, which Teilhard de Chardin worked for, that stinking Jesuit, that liar with regard to Peking man and the further evolutionary hoax that he promoted. And so as a result, China went communist. And where was communism perfected? Communism was perfected by the Jesuits and their Paraguayan reductions for 150 years. From 1609 from 1609 to 1759, when the Jesuits were expelled from Portugal and the Portuguese holdings in South America in 1759. The Jesuits are the masters of communism. They revived it. they perfected it on their reductions. And then they used Karl Marx to write the manifesto, financed by a white Gentile Jesuit coadjutor named Frederick Engels, a British noble and a very rich man. The audacity of Marx to write against the capitalist when a cartel capitalist was financing him, showing that the cartel capitalists, the monopolists, work together with the communists. And both of them hate the rugged individual conducting private free enterprise, laissez-faire free enterprise, where men are competing with one another to build a better product for a cheaper price. That's what built Western civilization. Oh no, we can't have that. We have to have cartel capitalism and Fabian socialist communism in every nation. Now, after they brought Mao Zedong to power in 1949, what does he do? He kills 50 million, at least 50 million of his own people. All with the blessing, the secret blessing of the American government. That's right. This bogus Cold War was nonsense. China was in ruins. China loved the American people after World War II. There was no reason for us to be an enemy with the Chinese people, except that the Jesuits would use the American government, controlled by the CFR, to create an enemy of the American people in the person of Mao Zedong. So now we have Mao Zedong, and they're going to worship him like a god. And he has what the Communist Manifesto, and he has the speeches of Mao Zedong, and they make a god out of that sinner. Do you know Mao Zedong, according to his wife, one of his great pleasures was to deflower young Chinese virgins? That stinking pig! So he continued to murder his own people. And China was never overthrown by a legitimate attempt to get rid of it. The Korean War, starting in 1950, shortly after Mao Zedong comes to power. What happens? Why, the American 7th Fleet blocks Chiang Kai-shek at Taiwan so that Chiang Kai-shek cannot invade mainland China, and his nationalistic Chinese, who loved America, loved American people, they would have easily defeated the communist Chinese, led by Mao Zedong. Oh no, the 7th Fleet's going to block Taiwan so Chang cannot invade. They're going to cut off arms to Chang so that there are not any bolts in his rifles. And so now that frees up the Chinese army to go north into North Korea and fight and kill American military men in the end of the Korean War by 1953. 35,000 American men slaughtered. Killed for nothing. One of Cardinal Spellman's Korean War. That's what they did to us. That's what they did to us, my white brothers. You see, if you're white or if you're Protestant or Roman Catholic, we just got to kill down the white man because it's those white Catholics and those white Protestants who give us the biggest problem in our worldwide jurisdiction of trying to set up the Pope. So we got to kill those people down. So that's what they did. Korean War was lost. And so now we have the demilitarized zone. And now we got that sinner, what Kim Jong, whatever his weird oddball name is, been given enough technology to have a missile, and apparently been given enough technology to assemble an atomic device. All care of Washington, D.C. That's right.